answering a question with a question. Doesn't that drive you crazy? Right? You say to your spouse or your teenage kid, "Are you going to be home for dinner?" What's the correct response? Yes or no? What do you get? I don't know. What's for dinner? Answering a question with a question, hedging your bets. I'm not going to tell you yes or no till I know what I'm up against. Liver and onions, I've got a meeting. That brings us to today's scripture and perhaps one of the most bizarre conversations ever in all of scripture. Did you catch it? Jesus says to the two guys following him, "What are you looking for?" That sounds like a reasonable question, right? What are you looking for? And how do the men answer? With a question. Well, it depends. Where are you staying? Did you catch that in John's gospel? Typical Jesus. Ask us a question that cuts to the core of who we are and why we're here on earth. That's what Jesus is talking about. What are you looking for? What we're doing that makes a difference. Typical us. We deflect with another question and worry about accommodations. Very funny story here in John's gospel. Very, very funny story. Why didn't Andrew and his friend just tell Jesus what they wanted? They could have been honest and said, "Truth is, we don't know what we're looking for, but you sure do intrigue us, and we want to know more." That's what they're really thinking. More than likely, they, like most of us, don't know what we want or what we're looking for. Like most of us, they likely have a general sense of what they wanted. A comfortable lifestyle, good health, children who were successful, security for our golden years, maybe have some fun along the way. Isn't that about what we're all looking for? Oh yeah, and help our fellow man or woman if we can along the way. Maybe we want nothing at all, nothing from Jesus. Perhaps we want him simply to leave us alone. No challenges, Lord. No impossible ethical ideals. No talk about that cross stuff. Thank you very much. Just a quiet hour on Sunday for worship and coffee, then off to the special for lunch. Sometimes that's all we want from Jesus. And perhaps those two disciples, considering a commitment to Jesus, were wise to be cautious. Any of you jump into a commitment with Christ without reading the fine print? So they deflect his question that cuts to the core of their longings and their yearnings, and instead they answer with a question of their own. "Rabbi, where are you staying?" In other words, where are you making your home in the world? And Jesus says to them, as he says to us, "Come and see." And he took them to where he was staying, and they stayed with him for the whole day. So it must have been a good place, I don't know. They stayed with him the whole day, and as it turned out, they stayed with him for the rest of their lives. The point is this: disciples are those who want to stay with Jesus, wherever that stay may be, and wherever it takes them. You hit the road with Jesus, and you're not likely to be staying at the Ritz-Carlton. You're more likely to be picking pebbles out of your sandals on the road from Nazareth to Galilee to Jerusalem to Judea, and if you pay attention, you might even see the shadow of a cross on a hill called Calvary as you make your way into town. In fact, Jesus will invite you, if you choose to stay, to take up a cross and remind you that unless you do so, you can't be a true disciple. Yet, Jesus, interestingly enough, calls that cross life the abundant life. Or, if you're from Nebraska, what do we call it? The good life. It's on every sign as you enter the state. Jesus knows what we want and what we're looking for. We might call it a comfortable lifestyle. Jesus calls what he offers abundant life. So when Jesus calls us to come and see, this is what he's talking about. Come and see what abundant life is all about. Come and see what a life of meaning and purpose and God's service looks like. You may find that it's just the life for you. And you might call that the good life. When Jesus asked Martin Luther King Jr. to come and see, King had no idea that the place Jesus wanted him to see would be the inside of a Birmingham jail. And the jail was not a particularly charming or comfortable place to stay when Martin Luther King Jr. checked in during April of 63. King was part of the civil rights protest being staged in the city and was inciting the wrath of the police commissioner, Bull Connor, who pledged to incarcerate every African American who challenged segregation. On Good Friday afternoon, April 1963, King was among 54 marchers who were arrested and thrown in jail for violating an injunction against parading, demonstrating, boycotting, trespassing, and picketing. Yes, that is your First Amendment right, by the way. And King got no first-class treatment in jail. In fact, he was singled out for isolation and denied the chance to make phone calls or talk to his lawyers. He had no mattress or bed linens, and was left to sleep on the bare metal slats of the bunk in his solitary cell. And yet, over that Easter weekend, deep in solitary confinement, down in what was called the hole in those days, sealed off from the outside world, Martin Luther King was staying with Jesus. And it was while he was locked up that King wrote one of the most significant documents of the civil rights movement, his letter from the Birmingham jail. He wrote, "Let us all hope that the deep, dark clouds of racial prejudice will soon pass away and the deep fog of misunderstanding will be lifted from our fear-drenched communities. And in some not too distant tomorrow, the radiant stars of love and brotherhood will shine over our great nation with all of their scintillating beauty." How about today? How about you? 60 years after that, are we staying with Jesus or are we staying somewhere else tonight? You know, if you stay at the Ritz-Carlton or one of those places, you will get the best in comfort and all of the pampering you can handle and the promise of an unforgettable experience. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let's not forget about a far more important place we need to stay with Jesus. Jesus invites us to come and see what he is up to. And he promises that if we stay with him, we will have an even more awesome and more life-changing experience than at the best hotel. And it won't set you back several Franklins either. Jesus may take us to the Birmingham jail, like he did King, or into a natural disaster, or on a mission trip, or to the Open Door Mission, or shopping for presents and school supplies at Walmart, or to a classroom, a community, a neighbor's house, a hospital, a graveside, or onto the session or board of deacons, hint, hint, whatever and wherever. But Jesus will take us somewhere. And if we aren't going anywhere special anyway, anyone going anywhere special? I'm usually not. Why not come and see? Now, in a few short moments, we'll be ordaining and installing our new deacons and elders for the year ahead. There are our own men and women who have said to Jesus, "Sure, I'll come and see." Maybe not quite so joyfully, maybe a little more fearfully. Sure, I guess I'll come and see. For you, I have some time and I have some energy to spare. I'll come and see where you're staying. And you know what? I'll bring my Arab bed along just in case. I'll come and see because abundant life is what I'm after, even if it doesn't have room service. And you can't get abundant life just anywhere these days. What about you? Are you ready and willing to come and see too? That invitation is always open, and Jesus is always offering for us to come and see. Are you up for it? Amen.